tell you a story about a crackhead in just a little bit, and also someone who got duped. But first, 866-391-1020, as it is the drive at 5. George in Cheswick has been waiting patiently on hold. Hello, George.
Hi, Colin. Hey, when is Allegheny County's been asked for about $5 million for that bridge in Oakmont?
Correct.
And what are they, why don't they just take the bridge that they just bought? You know that they just bought a bridge? They bought the brilliant bridge that goes from Aspinwall to Washington Boulevard. And they spent $3.5 million of the rescue money. It cost them $4.7 million for that bridge. And now it's going to cost them another $10 million to fix it up so that the bikers and the hikers can use it.
Right. The one that goes, that used to, I know exactly where it is. Yes.
Railroad Bridge.
Yes, Railroad Bridge. I don't know. That doesn't make sense. I'm all for people being on the Aspinwall side of the river, but I don't necessarily know how many people are going to use it to traverse by foot or by bike over to the city when there's already a walking lane on the Highland Park Bridge.
Right, I know. I can't understand it myself. I just it happened about 4 months ago, I think it was, when I saw it in the paper. I saw it in the Trib that they bought that bridge. I couldn't believe it.
Doesn't make any sense. I do like the trail and all the stuff that they're doing all through Sharpsburg and Aspinwall and along the water there. That makes a lot of sense, but I don't know if it needs to be connected over to, like, Washington Boulevard area. I don't know what that's going to bring. All right, listen to this story. This is kind of insane, and I don't necessarily know at all how this could happen. It comes from KABC in L.A. It's this 71-year-old guy named Larry, and he's totally with it. Like, he's not out of it. He seems to be with it, seems to have a good personality, bright guy, all this stuff. Now, he lost his wife last December. She had passed away. And all of a sudden, he's, you know, kicking around on the internet, figuring out what he wants to do. And also, he has a bunch of money. I still can't figure out how this can happen. Are you ready?
She was telling me how she had $10 million in her crypto account. She showed me where she had traded $3 million and got $1 million. And this happens like in 5 minutes.
Tina said her aunt at Morgan Stanley would tell them when to trade. She guided him to wire money from his bank to Coinbase to crypto.com. They practiced with play money at first, then small amounts.
She'd say, we need to prepare. Open your on-chain and send me a screenshot. And she would show me on the screenshot which one to click. It looked like the money was coming in large amounts. She kept trying to get me to put more money into this account because it could get like 50% return.
So he tapped his $1 million IRA account, putting in $500,000 at first. Then days later, another $500,000. It wiped out his retirement savings. But it appeared his $1 million had grown to $2.4 million. Tina said, put in more.
She wanted me to get money out of my house, money for my kids, anywhere I could get it, friends, relatives.
Banks turned him down for loans, so he asked his stepdaughter for money.
I said, Megan, you don't have a couple hundred thousand dollars you'd be able to throw in this if you knew you could make a profit of it, right? She goes, Larry, this is a scam. This is a scam. And she started crying.
Frantically, he and Megan tried to pull money out of the crypto account.
But there's no money. It gives you this window.
It wasn't there. He just lost $1 million, all of his retirement. And worse, he may have to pay $400,000 in taxes for drawing all the funds from his IRA account.
Bro. Larry. Seemingly with it. Now, I might have feel bad for this guy. I'm not victim blaming, but there's a difference between victim blaming and compassion. Where am I with this at 866-391-1020? Well, I'm not going to ask you where I am. I'm going to formulate my own thoughts, but where are you with it? I'm not blaming him, okay? But I also don't have a ton of compassion. And here's why. When you pull out $500,000 from your bank account, from your IRA, from anything else, any $500,000 that you have, and you give it to someone who you essentially don't know. And that's not enough, and then they ask for another $500,000. And you have your full faculties about you. All right? And you give them then the second payment of a $500,000. I don't know if I have a ton of compassion for you still. I know this might be cold-hearted. I know I might not come across and say the PC thing like, oh, this poor guy. Well, he's 71. He's not 101. And when you hear him talk there, and I watched the video, KABC Los Angeles, I was fascinated by this today. He is definitely not somebody that comes across who doesn't know what he's talking about, doesn't know what he's doing. Whenever you give a $500,000 to somebody and you don't necessarily get the return on it, don't you stop the ride and maybe, just maybe, because you got a $500,000, you can afford a financial investor or financial advisor, excuse me. There's like 9,000 that advertise with KDK. Just listen to us, and I'm sure you could get tipped off to one. They even have people that have full-on shows on the weekends. So anyhow, if you give somebody a $500,000, and then you're wondering if they piddled it away or stole it, okay? Stop the whole ride and go, I better talk to somebody. Not, wait a minute, I just gave you that $500,000. I think it's kind of in limbo. I don't necessarily know what we're doing with it, but you're asking for another $500,000? Sounds good. Oh, and it's crypto. It's not even like real money. Yeah, what the hell? I click here, and then I click here again. Wait, then you want me to drag over where it says your account real big and change it to your name? Yeah, sure. Let's go. Again, I'm not victim blaming. I just can't have a ton of compassion. I can't. I know that might sound cold. Can't do it at all. Not in the least for this guy. I hope he, and now he gets hit for $400K for taxes. My goodness. Just some people are so darn gullible. I could see these stories where this 85, 90-year-old guy ends up, you know, thinking he's going to marry some lady from overseas, and she just wipes him out, and there's really no woman there anyway, or Manti Te'o or something like that. But this story, buddy, you had to stop the ride way before this. Coming up next, the story of a crackhead, and I have some news for all the people who say, people who do drugs only hurt themselves. Maybe Bethany Hallam should listen up to this next segment. First, though, Bocce House, get there. Get ready to roll. Bocce House of Pittsburgh is open, and it is free open play all month long. Bocce House of Pittsburgh, thebocciehouse.com. It's in Fox Chapel, RIDC Park. Fantastic place. Grab some friends, enjoy delicious food, and pour yourself a drink. Open pour bar system. It is great. Self-open pour bar system. Because the fun's in your hands. Bocce House of Pittsburgh. Good food. Great drinks. Even better company. And they all meet on the court. TheBocceHouse.com for all the details. I'd like to offer a message to all those people. Particularly the Bethany Hallams of the world. Who say, remember, she had proposed, keep this in mind, she had proposed non-facetiously giving drugs to people on the street. I'm serious. She 100% did that. On top of needles and safe injection sites and things like that. And her ilk, and these way far left progressives here in Allegheny County, one of their main mantras is, well, they're not hurting you. Who are they hurting? Okay? I'd like to bring you up to speed on a crackhead from Brentwood, right? So here's a message for all you people who feel like it's okay to enable these druggies. A woman suffered severe burns after investigators say she tried to light a crack pipe while she was in a hospital bed. Brentwood Fire Department was called to the AHN Hospital on Sawmill Run Boulevard. where Monique Hendrickson, 55, of Pittsburgh, had severe burns to her face, hands, and hair, court documents say. Officials said that they found that she started a fire when she tried to light a crack pipe while on oxygen. Hospital security extinguished the flames, and Hendrickson was transported to a burn unit. She faces a felony charge of causing or risking a catastrophe. So generally when things are a catastrophe, that puts out more than one person. That's the way I look at it. So all the people who give druggies free needles, the ones who give them safe injection sites, the ones who wanted to give them free drugs, the ones who decriminalize drug use, the ones who are all on board with that stuff, who say they only hurt themselves. Does this look like it had the makings of only hurting one person? And this is just one example. I mean, the whole drug trade and the whole drug use and all this screws up economies, families, everything else. But I would love for the Bethany Hallams and the crazy, way far left progressives to explain this one away. What's somebody supposed to do like me who says that, especially after multiple offenses, these people need to be either incarcerated or put into a mental institution? Like 100% for sure. And any sort of free needles, safe injection sites, is nothing more than enabling. End of story. Pretty great place. We'll have a Halloween extravaganza tomorrow. It's apparently some potluck thing here at work and a dress-up thing. You dressing up, Margo? Are you going to wear a costume to work tomorrow?
I might.
Well, about an hour ago, I think I semi-asked you, and you said for sure. So what's going on now?
I don't know. I'm trying to find a costume.
What do you mean? See, that's one thing guys have wrong about girls, I think. Men think that women just have costumes laying around to wear on Halloween amongst, like, 9 million other things. Like, they just fix stuff. Yeah, do you have this? Yeah, sure, I got this. That's what men think about women.
Yeah, that's not true. You got to really plan for... Plus, I don't want to be basic, of course.
You don't want to be basic?
I don't want to be a witch, you know what I mean?
Okay, gotcha. Why don't you be... You should try to be somebody in the office. Be like Larry Richard, or be like Marty. Be one of Marty's boys.
I was going to maybe be PJ, but he's not going to be here tomorrow.
Well, that would even be funnier then.
Yeah, but then if he doesn't see it, that's kind of
weird. There's we have photographs in 2025.
Well, I already gave it away, so I'm not going to be in it anymore. But right. I am participating in the potluck. I'm going to bring buffalo chicken dip.
Oh, okay. You're bringing buffalo chicken dip. All right. That sounds
that's
good.
That's what I brought for the past one potluck, I guess.
Yeah, you did. You did bring that for potluck. All right, I want to get into this. And we're just having fun today. Tomorrow will be a nice Halloween extravaganza. So did you know today is National Candy Corn Day? Now, candy corn is one of those things that, and I fall not into one of these categories. It feels very polarizing. People either love it or hate it. I don't. If it's there, I might have a little. If there's none there, I don't pine for it and need it. But I'm not somebody. There are a lot of people who absolutely love it. And there are a lot of people who say, don't bring it anywhere near me. Now, candy maker George Reniger, he invented candy corn while working at this candy company in the 1880s in Philly. Now, what it is it represents the bright colors of corn kernels. Yellow, orange, and white. However, it was popularized in about 1900 by this other confectionery company, which later became the Jelly Belly Candy Company. Now, Jelly Belly proudly claims the longest history of continuously producing candy corn using the same original recipe. But the first company is at odds with them, and it's kind of like, you didn't invent it. Don't say that you invented it, because that's not right. So there's that. Candy corn is one of those things that's totally polarizing. Absolutely, positively polarizing. And again, I don't have strong feelings about it. There are people who will go nowhere near it, and there are people who love it. I heard Tamara Rush talking yesterday, well, maybe 2 days ago, about her love of candy corn, how it's one of her favorite things. It does have a certain, like, sweetness to it. I don't mind it. It's okay. I will say this. If you're going to give candy corn out tomorrow, don't. Kids don't want it. If you can find a different option, go ahead and do that. It's not bad for, like, a sitting around, maybe adults having a little bit of it, or putting it in an old-fashioned candy dish like your grandma maybe had at her house. It's not something that you give out. Don't put a baggie together of candy corn and give it out to trick-or-treaters. So there's that. Margo, why are people texting the text line? Now we got to stop the show. Are you ready for this, Margo? There are people texting the text line from the Eye Care Institute saying that they need to talk to you and putting their phone number down. Do you have business with these people?
What?
I think, honestly, people are now texting the text line and leaving their phone number for you. That's how big of a star you've become.
Am I getting scammed?
Either scammed or stalked.
Did you say Eye Care Institute?
Yes.
I have heard on three separate occasions today already about people having eye appointments, everything about eyes. I'm done hearing about eyes today.
Why is somebody trying to get in touch with you from the Eye Care Institute?
I don't know.
Is there something odd going on that I don't know about?
No, I didn't do anything.
Should we call this number? The guy left a phone number, and it's a 412 number.
Yeah, give it to me. I'll call him during the break.
Well, okay, this is very odd. He wants texts.
What did he say?
He said, "Hi, Margo. It's Rich Eye Care Institute. Here's the number. Text me you got this number." This is odd, Margo. Are you being stalked? Is there something?
Oh, I'm not going to text.
Do not text. Then they're going to have your number.
No, yeah, I don't want that.
Is there something I need to know about?
No,
I'm looking at these texts.
I didn't do anything.
Are you? But it's weird that you said you've heard about eye care like three or four times.
Yes. Why is this following me?
Are you sure everything's okay? Is there like a code word you need to have right now to step in?
No,
Didn't Paul have an eye appointment or something today?
Yes, exactly.
Hey, and turn Paul's microphone on here, Margo, because he's trying to talk here. Wow.
It's on, Paul.
Okay, Paul.
Yeah, I just shared my experience. I had blurred vision through like almost 3:30.
Uh-huh.
Which they told me and warned me about.
Okay.
And she said she's had like other calls about talking about their eye appointments today. Is today National Eye Care Day?
I just told you it's National Candy Corn Day.
I hate candy corn.
Exactly, see?
I despise it.
Candy corn's the best.
It's so polarizing.
Pumpkins are
the best.
That's what Margo says. I'm kind of here, neither here nor there on it. It's okay, which is not common. People either love it or hate it.
It's just, yeah, I hate it. I can't. I'm having trouble. I have pretty, you know, positive feelings about Margo, but they're deteriorating a bit as we speak.
Bruh, can have different taste buds.
I know. I'm just stunned.
Candy corn, that's, no.
People, go get your eyes checked again.
I did.
People,
get your mouth checked this time.
Now I can see you in the light that I need to.
People are trying to fetch Margo's information, but I think they're catfishing you by this sort of fake eye care situation here, Margo. I don't know if I'd respond. Paul, would you respond?
No.
No. Okay,
heavens
Margo.
No,
heavens no. That's heavens no. Not even just a no, Margo. A heavens no.
No, 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 no.
So don't get back.
I don't want to get stalked.
Like, maybe they heard that story, that guy from KABC in LA who gave $1 million to a crypto person, and it's going to start down that road if you respond.
I don't know.
Anyhow, that's that. Good segment. 866-391-1020. That's 866-391-1020. Now I'm confused. The show was totally on the rails. It was 100% train moving toward the towards the station to disembark at the very end of the ride, which comes up in about 10 minutes from now. And then we start getting text that people want to be in touch with you. Very interesting. Here we are, a couple more minutes left. 866-391-1020. Margo thinks she got to the bottom of her stalker, and it's not really a stalker. It's just a nice person passing along a phone number. That's all that needs to be said about that, so that's that. Just a few more minutes left. We went over this story a little earlier today, and it's one I kind of can't get over that it keeps happening. But then again, it's going to keep happening until the punishment is, well, worse. Or more severe, I should say. So, some guy from West Virginia, fella named Robert, 32 years old. He showed up at the airport, and get this. So, he goes to TSA this morning. This is the part of the story that's not paid attention to enough. He's going through TSA this morning at 4:38 a.m. What time they even start checking? I didn't even know they started checking at that time. I guess maybe they do. So he goes through at 4:38 a.m. And he's got a gun in his backpack. Naturally, no valid concealed carry permit. He's facing one misdemeanor charge for carrying a firearm without a license. The FBI has been notified. He can get a fine of up to $10,000. But it's a civil fine. And this comes on the heels of yesterday, where a guy from Latrobe, 51 years old, his name's John Frye, F-R-Y-E. He did not possess a valid concealed carry permit. He got to sleep in a little longer, though. He didn't go through the TSA until almost noon, 11:44 a.m. So he's facing a charge of misdemeanor carrying a firearm without a license. Tried to go through TSA. This happens like 50 times a year. I'm not exaggerating. I forget the number. I got to look it up tomorrow. It was a lot last year. Now, these are 2 days in a row. And some will say, well, it's just an accident. But if you talk to any, and I have talked to a lot of responsible gun owners, they say, I know exactly where my gun is all the time. And something like this is not only inexcusable, it's actually impossible for me. Responsible gun owners say, because I have it in a case. I know what to do with it when I go to or through a TSA checkpoint. I know that I'm going to put it under the airplane. Thus, I take it up to the gate, or there's a special place to do that at the airport, all of that. And so there is a level of responsibility when you're going to fly that involves some proactivity, some forward thinking, some research, all of that. Like anybody in the year 2025 knows, and if you don't know, you're just adult, but anybody in the year 2025 knows, you just can't throw your gun in your backpack and walk up to the gate. Going back a couple steps, though, it's not safe to just have your gun in your backpack like that anyway. Especially, at some point, you would have had to part with it because you take your backpack off and put it through that magnetizing machine or whatever, and that's how they find out you have it. That being said, I proposed that these people shouldn't be able to own a firearm for 5 years. They just shouldn't. Now, a caller earlier said, how about this? How about it becomes something that's criminalized? Okay, I'm on board with that. They get arrested on the spot. Okay, I'm all right with that. They get processed. They get booked. The county sheriff takes them down to the ACJ. They go through the whole process, arraignment, all that kind of stuff. And you treat it like a real crime. And then they explain to the judge what happened. And there are penalties in place. Okay, I'm fine with that. And I think there should be some sort of penalty with being able to fly. Because we have now, and I don't know this to be the case or not, every single person that's gone to the airport and had their gun in their bag, which is like 50-some a year, every single one says, oh, I just forgot it. Forgot it was in there. And it may be 100% accurate, but every single one says, that's what happened. I forgot it. And you know what we do? We take them at their word. And they all might be truthful, but one of them might not be. Maybe one, just one, was trying to get it through so they could shoot up the airplane. Who knows? But for some reason, the default is we just take them at their word. Yeah, I forgot it was in my backpack. We never assume anybody's ever doing or wants to do anything nefarious with it. And for me, in the year 2025, that's just not good enough. They should be punished more.